from the National Catholic Register. This is Register Radio, bringing light and clarity to the news and topics that affect your life.
Hey, it's the season of giving, and Catholics in New Orleans just gave big. Today on Register Radio, Jeanette DeMello and Archdiocese of New Orleans Stewardship Director Corey Howitt share how ministries in the Big Easy raised over $1 million in one day. Also, Jeanette gets a report about Christian refugees from Register correspondent Victor Gautan after his recent travels to Jordan and Lebanon. Welcome again to Register Radio, a co-production of EWTN and the National Catholic Register. I'm Tom Price, along with Jeanette DeMello, editor-in-chief of the Register. Thanks for joining us. Our first guest, Corey Howitt, is the Executive Director for the Office of Stewardship and Development for the Archdiocese of New Orleans. His years in nonprofit development led him to an MA in Philanthropy and Development from St. Mary's University in Minnesota, with a concentration in stewardship. Today, he and Jeanette will talk about the amazing generosity of the people of New Orleans.
All right. Well, Corey, it's great to have you on Register Radio. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
This is a big time of year for any ministry. It's the end of the year, and everyone seems to be trying to close their budget gap. You know, the Register is a ministry, too, so we know what that feels like. We all want to kind of speak to the year-end donors and say, hey, have you given this year? And, you know, New Orleans, the Catholic community in New Orleans tried something different this year, and they were very successful. And I'd love to hear about that success.
Sure, and we appreciate the opportunity to be able to share the story. And just as you mentioned, you know, during the time of year and finances, it's an integral part of our own Christian journey to, you know, how do we live this out? How do we support our ministries? How do we support our own families and then our own charitable giving? And really what we started being able to see is inside of the church, how can we help individuals respond to not only a message of giving, but to an opportunity to be able to celebrate not only their Catholic faith, but do that through an opportunity for giving.
Mm-hmm. And that opportunity came the Tuesday after Thanksgiving. So around Thanksgiving time, we have all of these kind of crazy days. I mean, Thanksgiving almost gets lost because the following day is Black Friday, and then the following Monday is Cyber Monday. And then there's Giving Tuesday, which a lot of people don't really even know about. But this is the Tuesday after Thanksgiving, and you and the Archdiocese of New Orleans seized the opportunity on this Giving Tuesday to do a campaign, and it was the I Give Catholic crowdfunding campaign, and you raised a lot of money. So how did this work?
Absolutely. So what was really neat about it is there was an infrastructure already and inside of the nonprofit world of a momentum gaining steam of a giving day. It's a crowdfunding giving day. And it was a way for individuals to kind of rally around just as you said, a day that there was all this kind of consumerism. Well, to somewhat battle that or to be able to kind of counter that was to be able to have this day where everybody kind of got together and started giving. And that day really launched about 3 years ago. This is the fourth year that just passed of being able to not only have Giving Tuesday as a global movement, but it started kind of taking place in communities. And so through the leadership of the Catholic Foundation, and the Catholic Foundation here in the Archdiocese of New Orleans is that nonprofit organization that exists to support the ministries of the Archdiocese. So they help establish charitable funds, manage them well, carefully distributing the proceeds. And they started thinking of ways that we could start building capacity inside of the church, look at giving inside of the church. And one of the neat things is we were just a part of this brainstorming of being able to say, how can we look at giving, look at this movement that's kind of in the secular world of Giving Tuesday, and be able to really message that and celebrate our Catholic roots. And so there was the birth of I Give Catholic, which was the start of our own personal Catholic version and Catholic messaging on Giving Tuesday. And so that was the true birth of it. To look at the secular world being able to do this and say, how can we do this as Catholics and kind of fulfill that message of giving?
And how much did you raise that day?
So the day was an astounding success. And so as a result of that day, we raised $1.357 million.
It's just amazing. I mean, that's an amazing amount of money to raise in 24 hours. And you raised it online. I want people to understand that. This was raised through crowdfunding. And crowdfunding is not an easy thing in the church. I mean, some Catholic organizations or Catholic ministries have tried to raise money for specific projects like a capital campaign to, you know, to add on to a church or something like that. And people have had difficulty raising money in the crowdfunding way. So why did this work?
Sure, no. And that was what was so exciting about this. And so we saw the momentum in the secular and the nonprofit sector saying, okay, there's this Giving Day and people enjoy it, but there's a couple elements to Giving Days and crowdfunding that we wanted to be able to utilize. And one of those is it's a little bit of a competitive nature, kind of this idea of like, okay, let's get out there and tell our message and let's, as a really grassroots effort. And so what we were able to do is we were able to reach out to all the Catholic affiliates, ministries, schools, and nonprofits inside of the Archdiocese and give them a roadmap of how to be able to do this crowdfunding through this unified website, igivecatholic.org. And so the website became kind of the host of the messaging. We came up with this brilliant logo and kind of made it this local feel so that they would be able to reach out to their individual parishes, schools, mm-hmm. And ministries. And so we can hardly take credit for it because it really was the ministries that it seemed like were really desiring this opportunity to be able to have this Giving Day. And we just kind of stepped in at the right time to be able to give them that opportunity to be able to go out and connect and have individuals invest in their mission, their particular missions across the Archdiocese.
This is Jeanette DeMello on Register Radio. I'm speaking to Corey Howitt in the Archdiocese of New Orleans. He is the Director of Stewardship, and we're talking about Giving Tuesday, a couple Tuesdays ago when the Archdiocese raised $1.3 million for the ministries of the Archdiocese. And Corey, one of those ministries raised the most money, and that was the Women's New Life Center. How did they do it, and how much money did they raise?
Sure, and that the Women's New Life ministry was such a powerful example of why individuals really kind of signed on for I Give Catholic and to be able to get behind it, because it gave them a unique way inside of their own membership to be able to grow new donors and to be able to give their messaging out to the community. And so inside of the process, we started looking at each other and started saying, you know, if this is the Women's New Life Center, a way that they were able to go attract major donors, it really gave us a peek into the idea that major donors, just like your $25 donor, the minimum donor, wants to be able to celebrate the cause that they're investing in, because this is no longer just about fulfilling a need. Yes, Women's New Life Center is trying to build a brand new center for women and pregnancy needs right next to the Planned Parenthood facility that's being built right now in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. But in addition to that, they were able to kind of rally people around that. And those major donors that wanted to be able to give wanted to be able to celebrate just as much as the $25 donor.
Sure.
And that's what's beautiful about this. It allowed everybody, no matter what financial amount that you committed to, that you were able to kind of use this day to kind of celebrate and tell the story of the mission that really spoke to your heart and lived out your faith.
Yeah, that's really great. So our reporter at the Register, Peter Jesser Smith, wrote about the story. He wrote about it in advance, and just to kind of let people know this was happening. And then we had to go back and we had to write about the success, because it really was news how successful you guys were. And, you know, I'm looking at that story on our website right now, and there's a nice picture of Tulane University, Catholic students at Tulane, and they're holding a banner. It says, I Give Catholic. And that's just one, picture that shows who were the types of people who were raising money during this this day. Corey, are there any other stories that would help our listeners just envision what was happening that day and how the money was raised?
Sure, no, absolutely. And I like to take the story from the idea that we split the individuals that registered inside of our Give Catholic. They were all affiliated with the Archdiocese. And so, again, this was a celebration of inside of the Catholic faith, inside of our local Catholic Church, for all these different ministries to be able to tell their story. And what we found is that a lot of them didn't have that opportunity to be able to kind of reach out, especially through social media and online component. Mm-hmm. But how many people wanted to respond that way? And so we had a great story of one of our smaller Catholic schools, St. Benilde School, to be able to, they saw this opportunity and really kind of used this grassroots way to be able to say, we're trying to, you know, increase our technology, our curriculum. And so they started contacting grandparents, and grandparents started connecting, you know, alum, and then they, it really kind of spread that way. So it actually gave a platform for even some of our smaller schools to be able to celebrate a lot larger success than they even thought. And then we did prizes through the Catholic Foundation to be able to help match them so that the not only would it reward their success, but also bring in new donors for them to build relationships so that they can maintain in the future. And so St. Benilde was one of the great ways of a small Catholic school here, kind of lost in some shuffle sometimes, some people would say.
Sure.
And they rose to the top. They were the head of the class for this Giving Day. And what a great way that we distributed them a check for $5,000 to be able to celebrate that their work and that they got the most new donors. They're definitely in next year, and the parish one's in, and other schools and parishes are calling because they see the success of being able to tell your message.
That's right. And of course, I'm sure you're still analyzing the data, but one of the things that you knew even before starting this day is that this was an opportunity to reach not only new donors, but younger donors. Do you think that that has happened?
Absolutely. You know, the one thing that we can look back on and say is that we know that there is an early adoption for online giving for millennials and such. But one of the things that we found, too, is that there's not always cross-pollination. So, for example, a Catholic school might be the largest ministry inside of a parish. But if it's limited to just the parents of the school or the mm-hmm. parishioners, sometimes it doesn't reach the individuals that might be on social media and might
sure.
be. And that demographic alone is a younger audience. In mm-hmm. addition to the fact that, like, it makes it very easy and intuitive to give when you're crowdfunding. And so
yeah.
what we found was that the ease of the gift and multiple gifts, that the average donor went on and didn't just pick one ministry. They went on there and they saw, oh, my parish is looking. Oh, my school's looking. Oh, by the way, this is my favorite nonprofit. People were averaging 2.3 gifts per person.
That's amazing.
They were going on and picking different ones. I even had my mom that night calling and just saying, here's my sixth. And I said, Mom, you're giving six gifts?
Six.
What are you doing?
Right.
And she just like, I couldn't stop. I got married at the cathedral. I went here. And it was those kind of things that were so exciting because it really kind of created this joyous giving to
Absolutely.
The things that really affected your own personal life.
Well, on that note, with the idea of joyous giving, we congratulate you on this success. It's my hometown, and I'm really proud of it. Corey, thanks for telling us all about I Give Catholic and your success.
Absolutely. Thank you for the opportunity, Jenny.
When we return, Christian refugees are in the news these days, and our Victor Gaetan has the story. This is Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Stay with us.
Imagine if you could help inspire millions of Catholics around the globe by providing a life-changing perspective on the events of the world. Imagine if you could bring faithful Catholic journalism to clergy, seminarians, and religious. Imagine if you could be a part of continuing Mother Angelica's dream of providing faithful Catholic news true to the teachings of the Church. You can do all this and more by donating to the National Catholic Register. The Register needs your help to continue our mission and close the funding gap we now face. You can make the difference with a donation, large or small. Go to ncregister.com/donate or mail your donation to the National Catholic Register at P.O. Box 100699, Irondale, Alabama 35210.
Let's return to Register Radio on EWTN.
And welcome back. Along with Jeanette DeMello, I'm Tom Price. Our next guest, Victor Gatton, is a Register correspondent whose writings focus on international issues. Victor also covers religion for Foreign Affairs magazine. He's currently writing a series of articles at ncregister.com about his recent travels to Jordan and Lebanon. Victor is with us today to talk about Christian refugees in the Middle East and how the church has come to their aid.
Victor, you recently returned from Lebanon and Jordan, where you looked at the plight of Christian refugees. It's an important trip that you made, and you saw the devastating effects of war and the craziness of the Islamic State's actions against many people in the region, but especially Christians. What did you see? What were your observations from this time in the Middle East?
Hello, Jeanette. Yes, I was, in particular, very devastated by the dimensions of the crisis in the area,
mm-hmm.
both in the city of Beirut and Lebanon. There are there are millions of refugees that have been absorbed by both Beirut and Amman, respectively. Most are displaced because of the barbaric conflicts in Iraq and Syria.
Mm-hmm.
But refugees also come to Lebanon and to Jordan from as far as North and East Africa. A minority of these refugees in Jordan and Lebanon go to United Nations sponsored camps. The
yes.
majority, however, spread across poor and urban neighborhoods. During my trip, I wanted to learn more about Christian refugees specifically. One thing is the situation of Iraqi and Syrian refugees is different in some key ways. For instance, most refugees from Iraq want to leave for good, and we should help them come to the United States if they so wish. Many are going already to Europe, to Canada, to Australia, where they have relatives. U.S., to many refugees, interestingly, is no longer the land of honey and milk.
Why is that?
They feel, from what I understood, many refugees in both Jordan and Lebanon feel that they are not wanted in the States, that they might be discriminated against, that it is too difficult to come to the United States, that they wait for years in very bad conditions in those places. It is much easier for them, it appears, to go to Europe or to these other countries where they have relatives already, or just walk, as it happened for the past few months, through Turkey and on to Greece, and from there they end up in Germany and Scandinavia.
But you mentioned also that it's different for Syrians. So that's the Iraqi Iraqi refugees. But the Syrian refugees, are they not as interested in coming to the United States?
Interestingly, the Syrian Christian refugees, as well as the Sunnis, they are more likely to want to return to Syria.
Mm-hmm.
The Christians, in particular, the Syrian Christians, are very attached to the 2,000 years of history of Christianity in Syria, where to them, to leave the places where St. Paul converted to on the road to Damascus, it's unthinkable. And what then becomes important for us to understand in the States is that we should attend to their immediate needs while they are in Lebanon and Jordan. And these needs are very specific. They are medical and education.
And so did you observe some of the kinds of ways that the community is responding to their needs while you were there in Jordan and Lebanon?
Absolutely. What I observed is that the Catholic institutions and the individual Catholics are working very hard in the Middle East. I was in particular impressed by Caritas programs, both by the quality of their organization and the dedication of the young staff. I will give you an example. In Amman, Caritas Amman is covering so many needs, medical, humanitarian, psychological. There is a clinic, a Caritas clinic, that sees 150 people a day.
Wow.
They need more medical professionals. The young, there are only two doctors there. A young Jordanian doctor now working there stressed to me the importance of having at least another volunteer doctor. This is one specific immediate thing that we could easily do from the United States.
Sure. This is Jeanette DiMello on Register Radio. I'm speaking to Victor Gaitan, who is the Register's senior international correspondent. He recently returned from Lebanon and Jordan, where he looked in detail at the plight of Christian refugees. And we're talking about ways that the United States and Catholics especially can help these Christian refugees. Right now, we know that many Christian refugees aren't necessarily making it to the United States. Some don't want to come. Some want to stay in the region they are. But what can we do as Catholics, as those who are interested in this situation to help these Christian refugees?
So, Jeanette, I would like, for the benefit of your listeners, to give you one other, what I would call an encouraging sign. In the relationships, among the relationship between the Christian and Sunni refugees in Caritas center, education center in Beirut, I went to one of these centers, and I observed for several hours their activity, the activities there. They have, for instance, hairdressing sessions, computer skills, English and tailoring classes. And in one particular room, there were Sunni young mothers and Christian young mothers. And they were learning these different skills. They were talking, reminiscing about their places. The Sunnis were coming from Homs, the city of Homs, which is the third largest city under, which was until a few days ago under the al-Nusra, al-Qaeda affiliated terrorist group. The Christian ladies were coming from the city of Aleppo. They all wanted to go back to Syria. None of them would be interested in coming to the States or going other places, because they are very, very attached to their land. This for some reason, it's more obvious than regarding the Iraqi refugees.
Sure. Okay.
So what can we do? What is it we can do? Again, everybody stressed education. Education for children. They need scholarships. There are Catholic schools that are doing extraordinary work. For instance, in Amman, the priest at St. Joseph Church in Amman pointed to me that he would need that many scholarships for children of refugees to be able to integrate them in the school there. They wish to go to school.
So, Victor, you know, you really chronicled well this this situation in your most recent work at the Register. There's a news analysis called "What Makes Jordan an Oasis for Arab Christians," and in that article, you do give some tips and some ways that people can donate. I point people to that article because if you want to know more information about how you can help these Christians who are on the ground, who are not interested in immigrating but are staying there, this is a way that people can help. Victor, we just have a couple minutes left, and I know that a huge part of this plight of these refugees is war. And that's a serious problem that is very difficult to address. What are some of the ways that are being discussed to try to alleviate the source of the problem, which is this war?
Well, Jeanette, the most important work is, as it happens again and again, done by the Holy See, quietly, though. It is the Holy See, it is the Holy Father and his diplomacy that have been at work in the region They were able to save priests and communities, entire communities and priests. But more interesting, more importantly, it is that the Holy See has engaged in a very active diplomacy with the major players there, in particular Iran. It is less known among us in the United States, among the Catholics in the U.S., that the Holy See has a very old relationship, active, good, excellent relationship with the clergy in Iran. It is less understood how close the Shia as a religion is to the Catholic Church. And without bragging about it, I had a piece that describes some of these aspects published yesterday in Foreign Affairs. And for those who wish to learn more about what the Holy See is doing and how successful I would say the Holy See has been in this respect, I would refer you to my piece in the Foreign Affairs magazine.
Sure, and that piece is called The Vatican Strategic Alliance with Iran, and this is published in Foreign Affairs on 12/9, so December 9th. We invite our readers to follow that and also to read more about the plight of these Christians in the Middle East. Victor's reporting really shows exactly what is happening there through the mouths of the people who are there. And I really do appreciate that level of reporting you've been able to do, Victor, in your trips and the beautiful description you were able to give our readers and now our listeners of these people's lives. I mean, these are the, you know, people who are just like you and me, who have been displaced and who've really been through traumatic experiences. So, Victor, thank you so much for your reporting. We look forward to more of your stories highlighting this very important work.
Thank you, Jeanette, very much.
Don't forget, you can listen to our show again by going to ncregister.com. Look for the microphone to listen or download the show. Thanks for joining us this time on Register Radio. For our producer, Elena Rodriguez, Jeanette, and all of us at the Register, and here at EWTN, I'm Tom Price. See you next week.
For more information about the National Catholic Register and about Register Radio, go to ncregister.com. Podcasts of Register Radio are posted on ncregister.com and on ewtn.com. Join us next week at this time for Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.